Troy mentioned that Margaret Jones passed away on Friday.
Am I on now? Those of you who have been around the church know a long time know that Bob and Margaret were very active in this church. And Bob was on the building committee that a long time and died, I think, 4 years ago. And Margaret, 3 or 4 months ago, and went to see her. She said, "Don't pray for my healing. I'm ready to go see Bob." And she really was. The last month was a little harder. And so it's a great rejoicing in heaven. And we are grateful for her life. And as Troy mentioned, the service will be on June 12th. At least that's the plan. All the family come from different parts of the country. So now today is Memorial Day weekend. And the text in Luke is from Luke chapter 12. It's called the parable of the rich fool. Hear this, verse 13 and following. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain man, the ground of a certain man, not a certain man, but the ground of a certain man, produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." May God add his blessing to this reading of his word, and may God inspire us as we reflect and share together. Come visit with us, O God. The title of the sermon is "The Blessing of Remembering and the Tragedy of Not." Tragedy of not remembering. The blessing of remembering and the tragedy of not. For the last 40 days, we've been inundated, overwhelmed with the magnitude of the oil leaking out of that pipe in the Gulf of Mexico. And it seems to me that that spill, that leaking, that massive sort of cloud that is approaching the shores around Louisiana, New Orleans, Mobile, is like a metaphor of how many of us are feeling in life, of being helplessly out of control with forces that are coming from deep under the ground, under the water, 1,000 or 5,000 feet down, a mile deep, coming and washing over us. And we can empathize with those shrimpers, those oystermen, those animals there, that this black toxic substance is just coming at us. And we are weary of hearing of attempts that fail after failure after failure. And, you know, we have a sense of what's going on and a helplessness. I think of the mother and father of the young man working on the rig, and I can still see them holding a picture of their son. I think of the man who I saw the other night on the news, whose family had owned a grocery store on the Gulf, and every Memorial Day, as long as he could remember, was packed, and now there was nobody there. And their livelihood is gone. They've done the right thing. They've been there. They've worked hard. And now, because of no guilt of their own, they're being overwhelmed. Now, what's that have to do with memory? The blessing of remembering, and people who put oil rigs together have a memory of how things could go wrong, and they have the technology to put in a redundancy of safety valves, but they cut corners because, just like this parable, there's the notion of greed. in today's paper, on June 22, 2009, for example, BP engineers expressed concern that the metal well casing that the company wanted to use might collapse under high pressure. This would certainly be a worst-case scenario, Mark E. Halfley, a senior drilling engineer at BP, warned in an internal report. However, I have seen it happen, so I know it can occur. I have a memory of it. And the blessing of memory is it causes you to act in a preventative way for the future. The company went ahead with the casing, but only after getting special permission from BP colleagues, because the casing violated the company's own safety policies and design standards. The internal reports do not explain why the company allowed for an exception to its guidelines. The blessing of memory, and oh, the tragedy of not. As I say, numbers of fingers can be pointed in many directions. But the fact of the matter is, for a long time to come, the toxic repercussions of this are going to be immeasurable. The latest report I heard was the only sure, and we're not sure it's sure, will be the drilling of a new well that may not happen until August. BP had had a history of trouble back in Texas. OSHA fined them, but they were outstanding fines. I don't know who's mining the store. Who's remembering? As I say, it's a parable. It's a metaphor for how we're feeling, many of us, after the Wall Street banks and all the mortgage firms were doing things that many of you knew 2 years ago, said to your neighbor, to your spouse, this is a deck of cards. It's all going to fall apart. And it did. And so many innocent people suffered. There was a memory of what ought to happen and what ought not to happen. But people didn't buy into the memory. It didn't act on it. Memory tends to cause us to act in a sense of self-control. I read an article recently, I think it was entitled, Why Joe is Angry. Just like the oil mess, just like the Wall Street. So many people do the right thing, buy a house that they can afford, pay their mortgage, work hard, do this, and then all of a sudden everything seems to have turned upside down. Out of greed. If Jesus were doing a parable today, he could talk about the oil spill, he could talk about Wall Street, or whatever. But what about us? Relationships. We have memories given to us. When we make a mistake, we can build on that mistake to go forward in the future, not making that mistake again. The memory of that, to correct it, to work hard, to make sure things move in the right direction in the future. The value of wisdom is it's a collection of memories, isn't it? The only advantage of growing old, I can't think of too many advantages of growing old. I was working in azaleas the last 2 days. I can hardly move today. I'm getting old, too old for that. The only advantage of growing old is you gain more memories, which give you a sense of wisdom, and hopefully you remember this, and so you don't do that. The insurance companies tell us that the percentage of teenage drivers who get into some sort of accident, a fender bender or whatever, is incredibly high, and I think it's because there's not been the memory of it having happened that brings about a caution. You remember how carefree and reckless you were when you were a senior? I know how I was. Even after that, it takes times of memory. Memories are, at least one payoff of memories is to build in some sense of caution, some sense of circumspection. If the oil companies had built in, like in the North Sea, a remote shut-off switch used in the North Sea oil fields might have avoided this. Memories. That's why we need generations together, so that why ASP is so powerful. You have older and younger working together, and you see, you learn from one another. And our Siobhan, our daughter, when we first got to Trinity, she went on the trip to Israel with us, and Margaret and Bob Jones were there, and Siobhan often talked about seeing Margaret and Bob Jones, an older couple, saying, she said to herself and to me and to others, they show me how I want to grow old together as a couple. They created a memory for her. In the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew word for memory is zakar, to remember. It's a hugely important word. And so every year at Passover, the youngest of the family will say, why do we celebrate this meal each year? And the father or mother will say, so that we'll never forget that once we were slaves in Egypt, and God with his mighty outstretched hand brought us out of the land of bondage into the land of freedom. We will never forget, and we will build our lives on this, and we'll remember the God who did this to us and blessed us with this, and we'll devote our lives to him, and we'll honor the Sabbath, and we'll honor the Ten Commandments because of that memory. And when Joshua and the children of Israel came through the Jordan River, and he said, pick up 12 stones and put them here in a pile. And they said, why? So that when your children ask, what do these stones mean? You'll go back and you'll tell them, because we crossed this river one time in the Promised Land, and God opened it up, and we came across on dry land. And it'll rededicate them to the future. And the prophets similarly called upon the memory of the past to remind them of how to live in the future. Jesus, and the night he was betrayed, and we often repeat this, said, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance carries not just a cognitive motion, it carries the sense of change your life in memory in connection with the memory you have and live out that. It's a behavior implication sort of thing. I shared with you that in the beginning of this month, I went home right before a meeting at Asbury in Kentucky, and I slept in the cabin my great-great-grandfather built and my dad rebuilt. And as I was laying in that bed, I had memories. I had memories of Grandpa and his straw hat and bib overalls and my dad and Mom. And I was flooded with these. And I hope you have memories today of people who've gone before you, and something about them gives you a built-in sense of whatever really is important. Also, I had a sense of appreciation. Interesting. I was reading the book Peter the Great. I finally finished that, so I won't keep mentioning it to you. But 850 pages is a long book. Peter the Great. And it was sort of like a history of Europe in the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th centuries. And I thought, this enormously rampant immorality of these leaders. Unimaginable. And they, as rulers, would send their young men into war on a whim, on a slight from another ruler. He had a personal vengeance against Charles of Sweden, and so they for 20 years were in war. And these young lives, or because of a little piece of property, or on and on. And when I thought of that rampant immorality, I was laying there and I thought of, I'm grateful for Francis Asbury, that circuit-riding preacher all along the East Coast, the first missionary, as it were, of John Wesley's disciples, came here, rode 250,000 miles on horseback, came across the Appalachian Mountains. And in that passion, the Methodist movement planted a Methodist church in every county seat in America. Amazing. And one of those hooked on to one of my ancestors. And they passed it on to them, my elders. And they pass it on to me. And I'm so grateful for that. It's a memory. I told you the story before, except those of you who are new. I was washing my sheep on a stand, getting ready for 4-H. Left it. It fell off, strangled itself. It's terrible. Obviously, it's still real for me. When I told my dad, he could see I was already sad. And he didn't punish me. He didn't say, I forgive you. He just went on. And that memory has affected how I approach our kids and others. The purpose of remembering is to propel us toward a better future so we won't repeat the past. And it's a blessed thing when we remember and we put in those safeguards and we put in those safety valves, so that we don't make the mistakes. The teachings that Jesus gives us are to provide wisdom for us to remember. In this parable, the story of the rich fool, there are two dimensions here. There are two meanings. The first one I want to share with you, it's not so obvious, but I think it's there. In the context, Jesus earlier in chapter 12 had said, remember the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. They had given him such a hard time. They were so in opposition to him. And so when the younger brother says to the older, says the teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me, it's about the religious leaders. They've held the promises of God, and the younger brother, which represents those who've been pushed out and the Gentiles, they're saying, let us in on the promises of God. Just like Luke's passion was. So there was some of that. This past week, Tom Farmer on our staff has been preaching a series of meetings over in Jacksonville, and a friend of mine is the pastor there, and he said to Tom, the leaders of this church have made it clear to me they don't want those kind of people in our church. Thank God that's not a sense of who we are here. But they could be like the Pharisees, the older brother who doesn't want to share it. But here's the other meaning. It's about greed. And there are three dimensions here. This guy who built all the barns had the misunderstanding that the purpose of wealth is for hoarding, so you get more and more and more, rather than for giving. That one gathers so that one can give away, that one can leverage it, that one can do good with it. The other misconception was the goal in life is pleasure. I've got enough, now I can sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. But the goal in life is not that. I'm looking forward to retirement one day, but I hope it's not to eat, drink, and be merry. But the goal in life is to serve others as Christ served us. And then the final thing is he forgot that the deepest meaning in life can't be found in things, but only in God and a deep relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so God uses really strong language. You fool, he says. How are your safety valves? Do you have a redundancy of safety features that protect your most sacred relationships, that cause you to be wise and cautious regarding the persons you love, the values, your relationship with God? When we don't remember them, when we don't act on them, a toxic flow of stuff will come in that you're not sure how it will end. Just like in the Gulf. Memorial Day is a day to remember. Because when we remember, it can be a great blessing. When we don't, it can be an absolute disaster. On this Memorial Day weekend, is there a memory God has given you that you've disregarded? Is there a memory that you heard from your grandmother or grandfather and you tucked it away, you thought, well, they're being old-fashioned, and now you know they were telling the truth? Do you remember a decision or a series of decisions, vows, covenants you made, but maybe forgotten? On this Memorial Day Sunday, I'd like for us all to pause to remember the fallen. The fallen for two reasons. To honor them. To honor them, their lives, their memory, their sacrifice. Oh, goodness gracious, let's do that. And the second reason is so that we don't forget this. To remember the enormous cost. The enormous cost to each one of the individuals so that we as a people, as a nation, will remember and therefore resolve to be very, 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 very cautious before entering another conflict again. Alice has found a video that's very moving. Very moving. And after the video, DJ, if you'll just maybe wait a minute and let us kind of gather our thoughts with God, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Would you watch this video at this time?
Dear Dad, after all these years, I've never stopped writing. I still remember many of the letters I've written you, and the moments I wish you could have seen.
Dear Daddy, I'm sad you had to leave, but I'm trying real hard to remember that you told me you'll always love me and to write you all the time. I didn't want you to go, but you pulled me close and hugged me tight, and you said that some things are worth fighting for.
Dear Daddy, I learned how to roller skate today. You'd be so proud. I fell down sometimes and skinned my knees, so I tried again and again. I was brave just like you.
Hey, Dad. Sorry I haven't ridden in a while. I'm 14 today. Can you believe it? Don't worry, though. No boyfriends. Mom and I are doing well. Sometimes we get lonely, but it's not too bad. Dear Dad, high school graduation. I really wish you were here today. College is just around the corner. I'm staying close to home, though. I figured you'd want me to help keep an eye on Mom. Dear Dad, today I married the man of my dreams. He reminds me of you. He's gentle, yet strong. He loves serving me, and he can make me laugh all the time, just like you could. Granddaddy went ahead and walked me down the aisle, said that you'd be proud of me. It was a wonderful day seeing so many friends. We talked about you a lot and how we wished you were here. Oh, Daddy, I love coming to visit you. This time, I brought someone else. Your granddaughter. I tell her about you all the time. We talk about the letters I write you and that maybe she can write you too someday. Yesterday, she told me she'd love to meet you. So I pulled her close, hugged her tight, and told her about how some things in this world are worth fighting for, even dying for. Love always, your daughter.